everybody. I'm sorry. Y'all still have blood running warm in your veins? None of your checks bounced this week? Praise the Lord, everybody. Amen. It's quite early for me. Amen. our ethnic church starts a lot later. But we appreciate the opportunity to come and share with you this morning. I also want to thank our good friend Tara, Pastor Tara, for the thinking enough of me that I could stand in this August pulpit for her as she is recovering. This morning, I'm led to our text gives us a rich launching pad in which to begin. So if you have whatever you read your Bible on, I'd like you to join me in Genesis 12, that same text. Go back to it. We are working together today. Amen? So as my mother used to say, this is not a poppy show. It's not just for looking. We are all going to engage. Amen? All right. So if you can get your Bible, whatever you read your Bible on, you're going to join me in the book of Genesis, first book of the Bible, 12th chapter. And as was so wonderfully read this morning by, what's his name, Sean Borch did a great job. I love when I see the young people involved in more than one aspect of our service. That gives them the idea that I can do more than just sing and take up money, that there are other tasks, other gifts that I can have and participate in the worship. So God bless you all for that. So our text begins when we start at verse 2 and says, I will make you a great nation. I will bless you and make your name great so that you will be a blessing. Today we're going to just spend a couple of minutes just engaging in the idea of the blessing of the kingdom. Could you pray with me? Father, in the name of Jesus, we thank you for the opportunity afforded to be here in your house of prayer. Now, God, we're asking that your spirit would remain, that you would push us, allow us, God, to struggle with your word, that we would be better as a result of being here with your people on today. This is our prayer in Jesus' name. Let all God's people say amen, amen. And amen. This idea of Abram getting this blessing from God is amazing in this. Abram hadn't done anything. Abram, as far as we know, we don't even know how good of a God person, a follower of God he was. From what we understand historically and biblically, Abram was coming out of a country where they didn't even rock him with God like that. It was all about idolatry and loving whatever they loved. And what I love about this is that no matter where you are in your life experience, you can be blessed. And not only can you be blessed, God will speak to you and bring you from wherever you are. We've got this weird way that we think sometimes in the church, like I've got to complete some things before God can love me. I've got to look a certain way before God will bless me. And I think that's because we have an erroneous idea of what blessing is. We continue to believe that blessing depends on me. But blessing doesn't depend on me, it depends on God. And what God does here, before Abram has completed anything, he's blessed. And that is a practice of God always with his people. With whomever he speaks to in scripture, he is pulling them from wherever they are, regardless of what they've done or not done. I'm wondering if there is a shift that needs to happen in the minds of church people, us, so that we will no longer keep believing that I'm blessed because of something I did, or something that I accomplished, or something that I received. No, you're blessed because you belong to God. When Pastor Tara initially asked me or requested if I could just show up today, I thought about it. I was like, this is real. It's like, sis. But at the same time, I was like, man, what a blessing. It's a way of thinking that you are on someone else's mind, or that I was on her mind. And the fact that you can think and do whatever it is that you've got to do, you are on God's mind. So I watch a show called Abbott Elementary. Anybody ever seen that show, Abbott Elementary? It doesn't matter if you've seen it. But it's about teachers in the inner city school system of Philadelphia. And there's an actor on the show. His first name is Tyler, but what I liked about him is he did an interview about how this show began. The show's only in its third season. But the show came about in the mind of the creator of the show, a girl named Quinta Brunson, during the pandemic. And she called him and said she had this idea for a show, and there's a character in the show that she wanted to model around him. Would he be open to being a part of this show? And as he's being interviewed, he talks about the fact that he had other opportunities to go and do other things. And this is what he said that shook me, that made me think so much more about being on God's mind. He said, but I wanted to do this because something about it touched me to my core. Then he goes and says this. He says, there's something about knowing that you are on someone else's mind that kind of changes your whole idea of what you're going to go and do. That while I was wherever I was, she was thinking enough of me to put me in this show that has won all kinds of awards and people are paying so much attention to. Can you imagine that God thinks enough of you that you are on his mind that you woke up? See, that changes the whole rubric. It changes the math. This math be mathing, because God stays engaged with us. So when I was looking at the text talking about being blessed, blessing, I got stuff I wrote down. This is the idea. I can talk long. And I recognize you guys got a time limit to talk in your service, and especially this first one, and I don't want to go over, but I had a whole bunch of stuff written down just in case to keep me on track so that we can get us all out of here at the same or at a relatively along the time that you expect to be out, amen? So we're going to try to work with that. But for all of us as members of God's kingdom, of members of this church, we are gifted with the, not just the ability to be blessed, but to be a blessing. The Bible reminds us that we are ambassadors of God's soon coming kingdom. 2 Corinthians 5:20 says that we are ambassadors. And this idea of being an ambassador means that wherever I go, wherever I am a representative of God's kingdom. Abram was being prepared. He was being trained in his own ambassadorship of God's kingdom. There is this thing that's interesting about the idea of being blessed and being a blessing. And the interesting thing is this. So often, because we think of ourselves as blessed based on the things we have, we forget our responsibility to be a blessing based on what we can give. We tend to think of our blessing on what we have rather than considering being the blessing by what we can give. Now, immediately what will happen to us when we think about what we can give, we automatically go to my stuff. Do I have money? Do I have a large enough car to carry all the kids with me? Do I have the resources to pour into someone else's anything? And what God is challenging us today, even as he was telling Abram, you're going to be blessed on your people. You will be a blessing to others, is that it is not just about what you have. It's also about what you say. It's not about just what you have. It's also about what you say. The people of God, when we are talking to others, there should be life that we speak into others. When my children were little, or when the first one was born, Micah, when he was small, because my wife and I come from dysfunctional households, there are things that we didn't want to pass on. And there were practices that I knew were destructive in my own development that I did not want to pass on. And part of that was name calling. I grew up in New York City, and where we grew up, it wasn't always about the dozens, but it's like we talk about people. You'll say something about someone based on what you see. So if, for instance, I was a kid who, and some of the kids here, it's become fashionable. Your pants would come up here, right? Well, nowadays this is style. I don't allow my son to walk around with pants like this because of my trauma. I tell him, you gotta get another pair of pants. You're not wearing those no more. My son is taller than me now, and it's style for him to wear his pants like this, and I have a problem with it. He has no problem with it, and I say, this is because ain't nobody talk bad about you because you had what we would call high waters. Anybody know that title? And now, by having high water pants, the blessing is that I was growing, but the environment in which I was in didn't talk about the blessing of me being growing and being healthy. The fact was, we didn't have no money to get the pants that would fit, or I'm wearing secondhand clothes, or whatever it was. So there was a title placed on me. There's a name that is called at me, and I receive that as if that is me. We as God's people, when we see others, what do we say to them? We are supposed to bring life into every situation that we find ourselves, even the ones that we don't understand well. We are to, the Bible reminds us that it's Proverbs 18, I believe, where it says, life and death are in the power of the tongue. James teaches us that this thing, this tongue, is like a rudder. This little thing can change the course of people's lives. And so as I was growing up, I was used to naming or talking about people based on what I saw, and I would label them. Or I was a kid who was labeled. So because I was labeled, I thought that was the way I was or who I was. But the truth of the matter is, we are not the things that we hold. We are not the things that we have done. The story I was telling is like how I wanted to raise our children is, we will speak to the things they've done, but we will not call them what they've done. So for instance, as a child, I would not be, I had an interesting relationship with truth. My mother would say, you are a liar. The word is liar, Mom, but anyway, first gen kids understand. And I would grow up believing that about myself versus saying, you told a lie. We don't agree with lying. That is not the way that we live in this house. And you are blessed to be better than that. So that I did not want my children growing up with labels on them. I wanted them to grow with knowing right from wrong, knowing what I did was incorrect, but it does not mean I am incorrect. I no longer become the bad thing. I just know I did a bad thing, and my parents still love me. The people of God have this responsibility that wherever we are to bring life into the moment. We are blessed to be a blessing. What's wonderful about how this whole thing works, Richard Rohr has this way that he talks about knowing what the rules are versus inhabiting the rules. He calls it first half and second half of life. When we experience blessing in the first half of life, we are only recognizing it based on what things we have. When we look at the Old Testament, when we're looking at Israel being blessed, it had to do with how many people they had and the things that they amassed. What's interesting about that is that became such a way of thinking for Israel that by the time they get to the New Testament, the people in religious authority only believed you were good or you were blessed by what you had. You can remember that when you run into some stories in the Gospels, that the question would be, who sinned? Why this man is blind? As a matter of fact, you can remember the one who was called blind Bartimaeus, son of Timaeus. The question was, his own name said it. He was son of a bad man. And his sin was made, quote unquote, they believed his sin was why, or the sin of his father, rather, was why the son was blind. And many of us look at other families the same way. You look at kids who are doing wrong, and you thinking about what the parents were like because you saw them in school or at academy. You've seen people making wrong choices, and you looked at them and made a decision. You immediately had a name for them in your mind. It's like we know people, there are people at your, I'm not even going, what time am I supposed to be done again? Right, okay. I'm looking at the clock. I want to honor your time appropriately. I'm supposed to look at the notes to keep me on track. That's what I'm supposed to do. But by the time we get to the New Testament, in Matthew 5 specifically, where we see a whole new list of blessings or people who are blessed, the religious elite are confused. How can someone be blessed if they're poor? How can someone be blessed if they're mourning? How can someone be blessed if they are hungry? That doesn't make sense. And for many people in this world today, it doesn't make sense that someone could feel like they are blessed yet be without cash. I'm living my best life. How is that possible when your stuff don't look right? Because I know in whom I believed, and because I believe this God, he's already called me blessed. And because he's called me blessed, I'm gonna walk around a little bit different. Because I know I'm blessed, I'm gonna talk a little bit different. I'm not gonna label people. I'm gonna speak to the good that I see, and moreover, the good that I don't see. I had a picture I was going to show you guys of where I was. In 2001, I used to work for Verizon Wireless. Verizon Wireless had just gone national as a wireless company, and my responsibility within the company, I worked in customer service. I was a supervisor at that time, and I ran the department that was supposed to move phone numbers. But prior to that, I had had this job, what they called a coach. And as a coach, new people who were hired into Verizon Wireless customer service, when they were working in customer service, my job was to just listen to their calls and then tell them how they can improve. A part of my training to be a coach required that they would tell us that when you want your subordinates or the customer service rep to do a particular thing, if they're not doing it, pay attention to what they're doing right. And continue to speak to the good things that they are doing. Now, I had a problem with this other part because they would say, ignore the bad. And I'm like, what? I can't ignore the bad when I know it's bad. I can't do that. That's inappropriate. I need to tell them that they were bad at this thing. And do you immediately see what I just did there? I need to tell them they were bad. Not that they did a bad thing or that it was incorrect. So what we would do, we would spend these times in our coaching sessions where my responsibility was to speak to them about what they did well and then give them tools for the things that they were obviously challenged by. Not just tell them they were bad, but this is how you can do that better. What God does for each and every one of us, or what God desires out of us, is that when we come into situations that he has given, we've been blessed so we can be a blessing, so that when we come into situations, we are now not labeling people by what they've done, but speak to the good. I had a young man that we met a number of years ago. He did not claim Jesus as Lord. And his lifestyle was one that I would not desire to emulate. But he was sitting at our table after a Taco Tuesday, Pastor Tara. And he had come from another country. And as we were talking about what I believed God had for him, what I told him was, outside of the fact that you are not living in a way that I would live, I want you to know that your ability to do what you're doing is God working in you. And he looked at me kind of weird. He was like, what? I said, the gifting that you have to do what you're able to do, that's God. Whether you want to recognize it now or not, and what God has placed in you, he's going to provide for you in whatever space he places you. I just want you to know that you are not evil, that you are not this dark spot on your community. What you are is God's masterpiece, his handiwork, that he is providing and he is making you into something even better, especially because you're not even acknowledging God all that much right now. But I want to let you know that God acknowledges you. He went on to travel the world is what he was doing. He was on like a world tour. He wanted to go to all the blue zones around the world, which I was amazed by. I was like, who does that? And he would send us messages back every now and again via email to tell us where he was and what he experienced. And to this day, he would still say thank you for the time he spent with us. We didn't spend more than a couple of hours together because that was the only day I ever saw him. Never saw him again. Only know him via email. But that is what we're supposed to be in the world. Because when we are that in the world, when people get up on national platforms and try to say what Adventists are and be wrong, as something that came up in this past week, we're not going to go into that today. And I said this to my wife. I said, then others will speak up for us. You don't ever have to defend who God has made you to be. You have never have to defend your relationship with God, the fact that you love the Lord, or any good that you don't have to defend that. Because when you are doing this, when you're blessing others, because of the blessing God has been to you, other people will speak up. They can't help it. They're like, nah, I can't let that slide. You can't be out here just talking about my Adventist friends. Yeah, they eat them haystacks like crazy, but these are the best people I know. You know what I mean? That's what we're supposed to do. I'm somewhere in here, I'm going to think I'm still on my... Did I say that? Did I talk about what blessing is? Yes, I did. So I did that. Okay. Let's go into there here. All right. I'm going to wrap this thing up in a bow now. For all of us, the opportunity to be a blessing will feel difficult at times because we don't want to do it. It's going to be something it's a struggle. I know your name, but I'm going to go Nathan's mom. Where's Coach, the guy who coached the basketball? Thank you for your ministry. We were a part of your Azure Hills League for a number of years, from my son was in the first grade until he was in the eighth grade. While we were a part of it, I coached a number of teams. Your son was in one of them, or a couple of them, I think. And I would always end up, because of my own schedule, I would always miss that night that everyone's picking. I would just get whoever was left. And I didn't mind it, because I thought it was pretty cool, because I thought the purpose of us being together was to just make sure the kids were a little bit better than how we got them. And so we would always go through every year we were the struggle bus team. You might get out of the 10 games, you might get one or two. And my poor son, by the time he was in the sixth grade, he was like, "Dad, we can't keep losing like this." I would tell him, "Micah, it is not about winning. It's about being a blessing and learning the game." And he's like, "Dad, I'm tired of learning the game and being a blessing. I want wins, Dad. Give some wins." But the idea is that for every one of us, every relationship that we have should be better because you are a part of it. This journey that we're on, this Christian life that we are walking in, it's not about perfection. It is about progress. And for a long time, we've been focusing on perfection and then feeling disappointed if we didn't make it. Well, ultimately disappointed because you didn't make it. You cannot be perfected outside of Jesus. And what Jesus is doing with us, he doesn't make us perfect in the next moment. He is perfecting us. It's the process of sanctification. Y'all are familiar with this, right? So what God desires to do with each and every one of us is put us in places where the situation will be better because we were there. Won't be perfect, but there would have been progress. The blessing you are to be wherever you are, when you are outside of this Azure Hills community, in the hospitals that you attend, or the schools that you're a part of, or the family situations that you walk into, when you walk out of them, they ought to be better because you were there. The best compliment I've ever received, and it's one that I still can't quite wrap my mind around, is that the first day I got to a church, someone told me, "Things are better because you're here." And I'm like, "But I didn't do anything yet. You don't even know if I'm any good at this." And they just said, "But because you're here, it's already better. Something about you makes people smile or makes people feel better." And I would struggle with this idea because I grew up with the rules, and you got to have something to show for where you've been or what you did. And if you don't have anything to show for it, then you failed. That is hardwired into my head. But what God does when we accept Jesus, that regardless of the hard wiring that in my head that I have to continue to fight against as I go through every day, is he said that the blessing, you're a blessing. And it's not because of what you do. It's because of what I do with you. It's not because of what you have. It's because of what you have because God has given it to you. He wants you to be a good steward of that which he's given you so that you can bless anyone you come in contact with. That you will naturally have blessing oozing out of you. In the church that I normally attend, we would put it like this. You shift the atmosphere because you come in knowing that it is God with me. God is with you. Who can be against you? So when we think about blessing, when it comes to God, it is always dealing with praise. I will bless the Lord at all times, and his praise shall continually be in my mouth. I will bless the Lord for all of his benefits. I love the Lord because he's been so good to me, and I will bless him. Whenever we think about blessing and God, it always goes to praise. But when we think about blessing and humanity, it always talks to what's inside. The blessing that I have, or that I feel blessed. The old church used to say, when you say how you're doing, I'm blessed and highly favored. The religious folk had it in their heads that was always going to be about what you got. But the Jesus folk learned that it's about who I got. And that as long as I got, y'all don't know that song. As long as I got King Jesus, long as I got King Jesus, long as I got King Jesus, I don't need nobody else. Some, every now and again, I try to remember, like, I look up odd things because I try to figure out why we do something. And it's usually something random that we do on a regular basis. I don't know what kind of historic or historians you have here, because you might already know this, but I didn't know this. Like, why do we say God bless you when someone sneezes? Exactly. That's one possibility that in the Middle Ages that people were dying of the plague, so anytime you heard someone sneeze, the hope, this is when we were still a spiritual people, the belief was I would just call on the Lord to help you. But there are some other thoughts on why we say God bless you. One idea, or actually these two ideas that actually are labeled separately, but it's like this. The thought process was that when someone sneezed, this is in ancient times, that you were expelling demons. They thought that when you sneeze, that you were expelling negative energy. And so the immediate thing to do is say, God bless you, so that person would be protected from that energy or those demons coming back. Ain't that crazy? Or, ain't that crazy? Or, suppose when people sneezed, they really were expelling. How is life different? Because then we would never let a moment pass without saying, God bless you. Isn't that right? You wouldn't let it go. It's like, we got to do something about that. We can't leave them like this, right? But we know that's stuff that they made up. But it's more that what this young lady here talked about with the Middle Ages, and there were so many people dying that it became habit that we would say, God bless you. Today, who are the people that you want to see God bless? We started off with Abram coming out of nowhere, being told that he was going to be a blessing and his family would be a blessing. And that same thought process works for each and every one of us today. That regardless of where you've come from, regardless of how you grew up, whether you grew up like me being labeled, or you grew up in great situations, all of it doesn't matter, because no matter where you're from, God is not limited by the blessing or how he blesses. He just does that because that's who he is. That's what he is about. So today, your mission, should you choose to accept it, is to go and be the blessing that God has already ordained you to be. Use those words to uplift, not to tear down. And we will be sure to watch God move in a way that you never expected. To see people blessed in the smallest of ways because of actions that you were a part of. And we will be preparing this world for our God's soon return. Does that make sense?